headlines, Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei says enemies have been seeking to advance their malicious political agenda by waging an economic war against the Iranian nation. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas slams the Israeli president's trip to the UAE, saying the visit emboldens the regime to commit more crimes against Palestinians. And Canadians rally in Ottawa against mandatory COVID vaccinations. Reports say Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and his family have been moved to a secure location. Thank you for joining us. My name is Kisumisha Ahmadi, and these are top stories this hour. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says the U.S. has been defeated in the economic war it waged against the Iranian nation to achieve its political goals. Ayatollah Khamenei was addressing a group of Iranian manufacturers and industrial operatives in Tehran. He said the onslaught against Iran's economy created some problems for people's livelihood, but it failed to bring a production to its knees. The leader said even U.S. officials have admitted that the so-called maximum pressure campaign against Iran resulted in a humiliating defeat for Washington. Ayatollah Khamenei reiterated that Iranian officials should not tie the country's economy to the results of the Vienna negotiations aimed at removing U.S. sanctions. He said Iran's economy should not be made dependent on issues over which officials have no control. Tehran and Moscow are moving forward a financial alliance with an Iranian lawmaker, saying that the two sides will be ditching the U.S. dollar from their trade transactions. Ebrahim Rezaei, who chairs the Iran-Russia Parliamentary Friendship Group, says the two sides have agreed to move toward de-dollarization and break the monopoly of the U.S. currency in trade deals. The two sides have also reached agreements in energy, monetary, banking, and transportation areas during discussions that took place when Iranian president visited Moscow earlier this month. According to the legislator, the two countries have agreed to use marine transportation to facilitate trade. They are also planning to exchange their agricultural produce. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas slams the ongoing official trip by Israeli President Isaac Herzog to the United Arab Emirates. Hamas says that the visit takes place amid continued Israeli crimes against Palestinians. It says such visits embolden the regime to commit more crimes and violate Palestinian rights movement. The movement also says the normalization with Israel only serves Zionist interests in the region. The Israeli president arrived in Abu Dhabi on Sunday morning for a two-day stay. He is the first Israeli president to visit the UAE. The Sheikh, along with Bahrain, established diplomatic relations with Israel 2 years ago under U.S. brokered deals. Palestinians see normalization as a betrayal of their cause. Israeli media say the president will use his UAE visit to encourage more Persian Gulf Arab nations to normalize with Tel Aviv. The Israeli president is in the United Arab Emirates for talks with the leaders of the country, as we just explained, in Abu Dhabi. The UAE foreign minister has hailed this visit as one of the huge steps towards a successful relationship. The president is the first to visit the Sheikhdom. He will be meeting with Emirati officials, including Crown Prince Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed. The UAE, along with Bahrain, established diplomatic relations with Israel 2 years ago in U.S. brokered deals. Palestinians, as we explained before, consider this a betrayal of their cause. Israeli media say their president will use his two-day stay to encourage more Persian Gulf nations to normalize ties with Tel Aviv. Now we are joined by Ebrahim Rezaei, Iranian MP and the head of the Iran-Russia Parliamentary Friendship Group, who's joining us live from Tehran right now. Thank you very much, Mr. Rezaei, for joining us. You did mention today that the dollar is going to be ditched from transactions between Iran and Russia. Do you have anything more to add to that? For example, if you could please tell us when this is going to happen and what is the objective of doing so?
In the name of God, thank you for inviting me. Iran and Russia have joint views in different fields. Some of them, one of them is that both believe in multilateralism and they are against the U.S. monopoly. This is not limited to politics, it's also in cultural and economic fields. And one of the signs of the U.S. monopoly is in economy, and it's about dollar monopolization. So Iran and Russia have decided to ditch dollar from their trade transactions, and they are about to finish the dollar's presence in their transactions. In the recent trip of Iran's president to Russia, Iran's economy minister was also present. Extensive talks were made between the two sides. I cannot tell you, I cannot say an exact date of ditching dollar from trade transactions, but we are working on this issue.
So if you could please tell us what the objective is.
Yeah, of course, the goal is to finish the U.S. monopoly and the U.S. domination in economy, because they're trying to affect the other countries' economies. They try to challenge the economy of those countries that are not following U.S. Orders, and the United States will. And they have actually, you've seen that they have imposed sanctions on some of those countries, including Iran, Russia, and others. So we are trying to finish and to stop this domination.
Thank you very much. Now, you were present during Ebrahim Raisi, the Iranian president's visit to Russia. Could you please evaluate this trip for us, in your view? And what were the important steps that were taken?
Ayatollah Raisi's visit to Moscow was a very important and strategic visit, and it was a turning point in ties between Iran and Russia. Several agreements were made in this trip. It was in this trip, Mr. Raisi met with Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, and he also made a speech in the Russian Duma. He also had a meeting with economic activists in Russia. These were important parts of Mr. Raisi's visit to Moscow. Important agreements were made between the two sides, and they were be in favor of both sides. In security fields, the agreements and the regional agreements between the two sides will continue. They include fighting terrorism, fighting drugs smuggling, and actually the ultimate goal is to finish the United States dominance in economy. We also had important agreements in the fields of energy, in oil and gas parts, and also we made agreements in developing refineries and other fields of oil and gas, including swap deals. We also had agreements in transportation parts, including railways and roads. We're also set to have increasing the economic transactions between two sides up to $10 billion. In all, we had good agreements. We also opened line of $5 billion, a credit line of $5 billion. And in the near future, we will see important steps in the extending and in developing economic ties between two sides. We also had agreements in the security fields.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ebrahim Rezai, Iranian MP and head of the Iran-Russia Parliamentary Friendship Group. Thank you very much, sir, for joining us. Moving on, the Yemeni army says that it has conducted a ballistic missile attack in Shabwa province, targeting a large gathering of Daesh terrorists and UAE-backed mercenaries. Army spokesman Yahya Sari says the attack left a large number of casualties without specifying the numbers of the dead and injured. He said five vehicles belonging to the terrorists and mercenaries were destroyed too. The Yemeni army is fighting forces loyal to the former regime in several locations across the country. Those forces are backed by Saudi Arabia and the UAE, both part of a coalition that waged war on Yemen 7 years ago. Since then, an air campaign by the Saudi-led coalition has left hundreds of thousands of Yemenis dead. Iran is urging the international community to do more to remove the inhumane blockade on Yemen and stop the Saudi-led war on the country. Ali Asghar Haji, a senior advisor to Iran's foreign minister, made the call during the talks with the UN Special Envoy for Yemen. Their meeting took place via video conference. The Iranian diplomat expressed concern over a surge in airstrikes by the Saudi-led coalition targeting civilians in Yemen. He said Iran will continue efforts to help restore peace in the war-ravaged country. The UN envoy elaborated on the efforts to facilitate a political solution and end Yemen's blockade that Saudi Arabia imposed in 2015. He stressed the importance of Iran's role in restoring peace in Yemen. Moving on to Sudan, protesters held another rally against the military over the coup it staged last year. Thousands filled the streets of the capital Khartoum to reject the military rule. Security forces fired tear gas to break up the demonstration. They also killed a protester. That is according to the Central Committee of Sudan Doctors. It says 79 people have been killed since the October 25th coup. The Sunday rally took place despite the military's ban on gatherings. It was the latest in demonstrations demanding civilian rule. The coup halted a power-sharing arrangement between military and civilian officials. That arrangement was negotiated in 2019 after longtime ruler Omar al-Bashir was toppled in the uprising. To Canada now, social anger over mandatory COVID vaccinations have reached that country, with thousands of people turning out in Ottawa to protest the mandates announced by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. The march began as truckers protests against obligatory vaccination for entry into the U.S. began, but the city's residents later joined the convoy and marched on the parliament. The protest was held amid tight security, triggered by violent rhetoric that promoters used on social media. There are reports that Trudeau and his family were moved to a secure location from their downtown Ottawa home. 77% of Canada's population has now received two jabs, and that includes 90% of the truckers. Canada made vaccination mandatory for federal workers in October. A similar mandate was jointly announced with the U.S. for cross-border truckers last month. Now, Jason Unruh, a political commentator, is joining us from Niagara Falls to give us more about this amazing turnout. It is the first time that we see such images coming out of Canada.
Yes, it's not common for there to be this big an uproar inside of Canada over social issues. Not even the ongoing tensions with First Nations protesters have we seen this much public physical support for what's going on. Essentially, what we have here is something that's being, it's not just about the vaccine mandate. I mean, there's a significant number of conservative politicians and the Conservative Party, including the leader itself, Erin O'Toole, backing this entire movement as a way of attacking Justin Trudeau. We could see a very clear bias against the Liberal government coming from the protesters themselves, their signage, their statement, etc. So we do see that this is being backed by the Conservative Party to attack the Liberal Party, which recently had just defeated the Conservative Party in an election not too long ago. But it is rare to see something this big, but it's important to see the political motivations behind it as well. I would also like to note that the founder of this organization is a known white supremacist. So Patrick King has made public statements where he has alleged the age-old conspiracy of white replacement in at least one video he made where he recorded himself in his truck. He blamed the former Iranian president Mahmoud Ahmadinejad for the plot, saying that he had made some kind of statement about infiltrating the education system, etc., to carry out this conspiracy, I guess. And there are numerous other, you know, white supremacist conspiracy theories has been espoused by this man, which is very disturbing.
Thank you very much. Now, we don't have much time to continue this interview. Thank you very much for joining us. And with that, we come to the end of this edition of World News. Bye for now.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is taught me the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special of this beautiful Sunday, January 30, 2022. I'm Atefer Irfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, messages from around the world. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our engineers and technicians at IRIB English Radio. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. So here, I truly appreciate those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Pritam Bhakat from India, Heikki Puranen from Finland, and Olof Ratuvara from Finland. I wish I'm right in pronouncing your name, Olof. So, Olof, Pritam, and Heikki, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And as usual, we've received so many emails from around the world, including an email from Bangladesh from Abu Sayed, one of our regular listeners, an email from Igor Belevich from Belarus, again one of our old and regular listeners. And here we have an email from Arthur Fernandez Lorella from Spain, one of our regular listeners. And here we have an email from Lithuania, from Thomas Biliaskas, one of our old and regular listeners. And the last but not the least is an email from Italy, from Carlo Giordani. Please stay with us. Later during the program, I will read these great emails from around the world. Please stay with me. Welcome back. Abu Sayed from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Let's see what Abu Sayed tells us in his email. Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, greetings from Bangladesh. We are old listeners of IRIB English Service. We have had the chance to visit your website and listen to your programs regularly. We are looking forward to writing to you again and again, and I hope we can deepen the relationship with you and get in touch with you more than before. I would be very happy to receive you, to receive a calendar and some souvenirs for our club in the new year. First of all, salam and greetings from Iran, from IRIB English Radio to you, Abu Sayed from Bangladesh, one of our old and regular listeners. We are so happy that you're writing to your radio, IRIB English Radio. That's such a great email. We are also looking forward to hearing from you again and again. And we hope that this mutual relationship deepens and deepens with you getting in touch with us and you receiving the most updated news and different programs of IRIB English Radio. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Sending you calendar and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio, the promotional items of our radio, is not possible in time of pandemic. God willing, after this pandemic, we will send you, of course, IRIB English Radio souvenirs. Abu Sayed from Bangladesh, many thanks for sending us this great email. Write to us soon. And from Belarus, we have an email from Igor Belevich, one of our regular listeners. Let's see what Igor says. Hello again, IRIB English Radio. Please accept my greetings from the snowy Belarus. I am glad to announce that I have become one of the regular listeners of your radio in English, which I listen to on shortwave, as well as your Russian radio on medium wave. I love Iran and its culture as an old civilization in the world. Hope to hear from you more. Salam and Warm greetings to you from Iran to the snowy Belarus. Thank you very much for writing this email to your radio, IRIB English Radio. So, you are passing snowy days in Belarus, of course. In Iran, we had the snowy days, but not right now at the time we are airing this program. But we had some snowy days since the beginning of winter in Iran, and that was great. You have become one of our regular listeners, one of the regular listeners of IRIB English Radio, and you also listen to Russian radio, Russian IRIB service on the medium wave, and that's great. You both listen to two of these radio stations of Iran, both of them belonging to IRIB, and that's great. So, if you love Iran and its rich culture as an old civilization in the world, you can follow our cultural programs. Yes, we broadcast different cultural programs at IRIB English Radio. You can follow them. And the archives of these programs are also available at our website at www.parstoday.com/en. And then you can enjoy them. Yes, IRIB is the only reliable source to know about the real image of Iran. Thank you for writing this email to us, Igor Blevich from Belarus. Write to us soon, and we are looking forward to hearing from you. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program. And from Spain, we have an email from Artur Fernandez Lorella, one of our old and regular listeners. Artur says, "Dear staff, thank you very much for your kind reply to my previous email. We are all fine here, despite coronavirus pandemic and all terrible problems ensuing that. I hope you are all fine there in Tehran, too. I will be glad to receive a QSL or EQSL from you. I am sending an old reception report. Would it possible to confirm it with your EQSL, please? Thanks a lot in advance for your help and your nice programs. Stay healthy." Salam and warm greetings to you, Artur Fernandez Lorella from Spain. And many thanks for sending us this great email. Of course, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Be sure about that. And thank you very much for your greetings. We are all fine in Tehran and in Iran because the majority of people are all vaccinated with the booster dose. So we are all fine, thank you. And I hope everything gets fine in your region and around the world regarding the pandemic. Thanks a lot for writing this email to us. Write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Artur Fernandez Lorella from Spain. And Thomas Biliaskas, one of our regular listeners, also has sent us an email. Thomas says, "Dear IRIB, I am a shortwave radio listener, and I would like to send you next reception report of your broadcast. However, it was difficult to listen because of weak signal and large amount of atmospheric noise. I tried several times to listen to your English and other languages programs, and it was the same. So, I have to say it is very difficult to listen to your broadcast, especially at winter time. I continue to follow the events of your country, and I'm wishing all the best for you." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Thomas Biliaskas from Lithuania, and I do express my appreciations to you for sending us this email. despite the troubles you had with the noise. You said it was a large amount of atmospheric noise and the weak signal. Thank you very much for writing this email to your radio, IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. Of course, we will inform our engineers and technicians about these problems you reported, and my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Don't forget to tell us your views about our programs. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Thomas Bilijauskas from Lithuania. And after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back. I think we have enough time to read an email from Carlo Giordani from Italy. Yes, Carlo says, glad to hear from you again. I'm still listening to IRIB English Radio. I'd be very happy to receive a QSL card from your site. Tonight, I had the pleasure to listen to your programs, and I really enjoyed that. Salam, ciao, and warm greetings to you, Carlo Giordani from Italy. I do express my appreciations to you for sending us this great message. So, you listened to IRIB English Radio programs and you enjoyed it. Thank you very much for reflecting your views about our programs. And my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation to this great email. So, Carlo Giordani from Italy, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And time tells me we have to skip to the next section of our program, which is this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. I think your news coverage is useful because you cover news that other international broadcasters often don't, such as the BBC or the Voice of America. You cover information, especially about your region and the Middle East, which is very useful. I don't think as much in the way of improvement as I can particularly think of. You're putting in a good signal. What I would say is that it's good that you've remained on shortwave. Now, a lot of international broadcasters have abandoned shortwave for the internet and thereby losing, I would think, a lot of their listeners, and international broadcasting is very important because it helps nations to cooperate and helps people from different countries to be friendly, etc. I'm one of those old-fashioned people that doesn't use the internet, surprisingly. I often get told off by my friends because I'm not on the internet, but no, it's far more exciting. No, I mean, you have to agree that the quality of reception, obviously, on the internet is better than shortwave, but shortwave is very exciting. You're actually receiving a signal that's come from hundreds or thousands of miles away and has been sent by a transmitting antenna and bounced off the ionosphere. And although the signal may fade a bit and you might get a bit of noise, it's far more exciting and interesting to listen on shortwave than on the internet. Well, my message is keep listening to IRRD on shortwave. Keep listening, keep in contact with the stations, keep sending them reception reports because they are valuable to the technical staff of these stations and that they'd like to know that their signal is getting through. And they like listener response because they want to know there are people who are actually out there listening. Thanks very much.
welcome back. Before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, I do express my appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports and emails, including Olof Ratuvara from Finland, Pritam Bahakat from India, Heki Puranen from Finland, Igor Belevich from Belarus, Abu Sayed from Bangladesh, Carlo Giordani from Italy, Thomas Biliaskas from Lithuania, and Arthur Fernandez Lorella from Spain. Please keep in touch with your radio, IRIB English Radio, and have a good time. Goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
the limelight.
Reporting reveals the households of at least 28 U.S. senators own a combined minimum of $3.7 million and as much as $12.6 million in fossil fuel assets. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Brett Wilkins, journalist. This article is published under the heading, One in Four U.S. Senators Still Hold Fossil Fuel Investments Even as World Burns. Stay tuned for more. A new report published recently reveals that the members of the U.S. Senate who would have to pass climate legislation are heavily invested in the fossil fuel industry. Sludge reports the households of at least 28 U.S. senators in both the Democratic and Republican caucuses hold a combined minimum of $3.7 million and as much as $12.6 million in fossil fuel investments. According to the report, of the 28 senators, at least 20 hold publicly traded stocks in companies like oil supermajor Chevron, pipeline giant Enterprise Products, or electric utility NextEra that belong to trade associations that are lobbying Congress against taking up a strong legislation to curb polluting emissions. Five U.S. senators are invested in energy funds built around oil and gas assets, and three own non-public stock in private fossil fuel companies. The investments held by the senators, their spouse, jointly, or a dependent, are disclosed to the Senate Office of Public Records in very broad ranges and often buried in hundreds of pages of scanned paper forms, making a more precise count of their total value impossible. At least half a dozen of the senators sit on environment or climate-related committees. The Household of State Energy and Natural Resources Committee Chair Joe Manchin, who has worked incessantly to destroy or dilute climate action in the Build Back Better Act and beyond, has received over $1 million in income from Ener Systems, a coal brokerage firm the senator founded in the 1980s. According to Sludge, Manchin has stripped the Democrats' budget reconciliation bill of major climate programs that would have transitioned coal-fired plants, like the one where the company now run Pakistan holds the prime fuel services contract, while the committee he chairs also added more than $11.3 billion in funding to the bipartisan infrastructure bill that could benefit his family company's niche, waste coal industry. Other Democratic senators whose households are heavily invested in fossil fuels include John Hickenlooper, holds up to $1 million in investments in Chevron and other polluters. Tom Carper owns as much as $274,000 in Chevron and Duke Energy shares. Gary Peters has up to $355,000 in NextEra, DTE Energy, and Pacific Gas and Electric stock in his portfolio. And the wife of Angus King, a Maine independent who caucuses with Democrats, owns up to $50,000 worth of NextEra shares. Earlier this year, Common Dreams reported that six Democratic senators, including Manchin, Chris Coons, Maggie Hassan, Mark Kelly, Kristen Sinema, and John Tester, have received hundreds of thousands of dollars in combined campaign contributions from fossil fuel corporations, some of which have touted their purported support for climate action over the past decade. The investments are valued at a combined minimum of $3.7 million and a maximum of $12.6 million, and many of them have been held by the lawmakers for at least 3 years. Of the 28 senators, at least 20 hold publicly traded stocks in companies like oil supermajor Chevron, pipeline giant Enterprise Products, or electric utility NextEra that belong to trade associations that are lobbying Congress against taking up a strong legislation to curb polluting emissions. Five senators are invested in energy funds built around oil and gas assets, and three own non-public stock in private fossil fuel companies. The UK research group InfluenceMap, which analyzes lobbying and communications, this month found that ExxonMobil and Chevron are the top two most negatively influential global companies on Paris-aligned climate policy. Exxon has spent about $4.6 million on political and social issue ads on Facebook so far this year, promoting itself as part of the climate change solution, while its officials hold leadership positions in trade groups including API and U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Chevron's first-ever climate lobbying report this year did not attempt to reckon with its trade association's lobbying against policies to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. In total, senators' households have as much as $275,000 invested in ExxonMobil and as much as $370,000 invested in Chevron. InfluenceMap's analysis found that the most negatively influential lobby groups on emissions policy were API, AFPM, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and the National Mining Association. API's millions spent on Facebook ads this year have recently opposed the Build Back Better Act as anti-industry legislation and have promoted natural gas as a solution. A 2019 report from over a dozen major environmental groups, including 350 and the Center for Biological Diversity, found that leaking methane from gas energy would push the world over the emissions bounds of the Paris Agreement. A conclusion affirmed in May by the International Energy Agency, which backed the winding down by 2040 of oil, gas, and coal power plants. Rick Scott, who won his Florida seat by 0.2% of general election vote in 2018, reported that his spouse holds an investment worth up to $500,000 in AG Energy Credit Appointments Fund IVLP. Announced last year, the fund aimed to raise $1.5 billion to buy distressed debt of oil and gas companies and was affected by Angelo Gordon, a New York-based alternative investment firm that extends credit to companies in a North American oil and gas company. Several senators have disclosed selling off fossil fuel industry investments since their 2019 reports. Ron Wyden's spouse sold up to $50,000 in ExxonMobil on August 21st. Divesting in full from ExxonMobil, as well as from shares in industrial conglomerate General Electric, whose stock is owned by at least five other senators. Dianne Feinstein no longer reports an asset of $1,000 in gas company Antero Midstream that she and her investor spouse held in 2019. Republican John Hoven of North Dakota the ranking member of the Subcommittee on Energy and a member of the Appropriations Subcommittee on Energy, no longer reports holding several oil assets that he did in 2019, including stock in Chevron, ExxonMobil, Marathon, and others that had been worth a combined $550,000 maximum. The average age of a senator at the start of the 117th Congress was 64.3 years, according to the Congressional Research Service. The median age of the 28 senators, including in this analysis, is 66 years, topped by Angus King at 77, Joe Manchin and Tom Harper at 74, and John Boozman at 70. Based on average U.S. life expectancy, most of the Senate fossil fuel investors will be dead before the plant reaches 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming above pre-industrial levels, as projected by the UN, to hit between 2030 and 2052, beyond which the most deadly impacts of climate change will begin being felt by those still alive.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Enmity of arrogant powers towards Iran originates from Lather's anti-arrogance and colonialist spirit. This is the part of a televised speech delivered on January 9, 2022, by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, on the anniversary of an uprising by the people of Qom on January 9, 1978.
The January 9th uprising was a brilliant combination of zeal and rationality. These events form our history, and we must learn from them. But a nation that is alive does not look only at the past. It also looks at the next step to be taken and the horizons ahead in every stage of its history. In accordance with the developments of its time and in accordance with the duties that fall on that nation, we must identify the task to be done at the present moment. We must determine our steps for the future. And we must identify the horizon, fix our eyes on it, and move towards it with all our strength and power. In this way, the movement will be successful in the real sense of the word. In addition, it will achieve the final victory, which is first of all a pure life for the Iranian nation. If others learn from it, and if it becomes a model, this is another issue. But we should achieve prosperity and an Islamic lifestyle, which is a pure life that has worldly comforts, has both religion and welfare, and is good for both the body and the soul.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
At the present time, we are in the middle of the path. Of course, part of the way has been travelled up until today. The Iranian nation has worked hard, and we have moved forward a little. But we should identify what our duty is today, and what our duty and horizons are for the future as well. Sometimes one sees that they carry out polls. For example, they ask the opinion of the people. But these things do not show the truth of the Iranian nation. The truth of the Iranian nation is shown by the funeral of Martyr Soleimani. It is these things that show the mood of the Iranian nation and what their sentiments and feelings are. In other words, in order to understand the reality and feelings of this nation, a domain as great and vast as the country and people of Iran is needed. Therefore, the polls that some groups carry out here and there, some of which have ulterior motives behind them, and some of which are innocent, cannot be a criterion in this regard.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.